Have your Bible this morning. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 7. If you want to turn there. Kind of had this on my heart here for a while, and I'm thinking about it myself. And we're going to read this, talk about it a little bit. I think there's a lot in here maybe that we just sometimes miss. And it's that way everywhere in the Scripture. We read it. I've looked at places and looked at them, preached on them, taught on them, and go back and look another time, Brother Rose, and just see stuff there that I didn't even think about seeing before. And that's the way it is. But I think this is an important place in the Scripture for all of us. I'm going to try to look at it a little bit this morning. Matthew chapter 7, this, everybody knows this, probably most of us quote it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. I'm going to read to, through verse 26, I think. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall ye know them. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall we enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. It fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. I think I skipped one, didn't I? Let me back up. Let me start verse 24 again. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. Been thinking about this and looking at it and studying it. And before we get, I thought this was pretty interesting, and it's not really what the lesson's on, but I'm going to run it by you. I want you to know that there's different contrast in these different scriptures here. First, there was a narrow way and a broad way. There was a way of life and a way of destruction. There was a good tree and a corrupt tree. There was a good fruit and an evil fruit. There was an outward appearance and an inward appearance. There was a wise man and there was a foolish man. There was a house that fell and a house that fell not. There was a sure foundation and an unsure foundation. And there was one that heareth and one that heareth not. I thought that was pretty interesting. Had you ever seen that? But anyway, I want to look at this, and I want to talk about it for a few minutes and then but pray for us this morning. I got up this morning and I told somebody out there a while ago, I'd been over and couldn't get straightened back up hardly, Brother Rose. Got any idea what that might be? ain't never had no, I don't think I've come out to anything anyway. I ain't never had no back trouble. But I just got a feeling I wouldn't, it's something I don't care nothing about. No, sure, there's some things given in this, and I believe it's given to society or mankind in general, and then given to the believer also. First, I want us to look in verse 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." And I want to talk about responsibility. I want to say, Brother Lowell, we say, and I believe, and this really don't have anything to do with what I'm teaching today, directly with salvation of man or being born again, because we believe here that you can't be born again unless God the Holy Spirit deals with your heart. And I'm not saying anything this morning that would put that aside. But I will say this. From Genesis to Revelation, in this book that we say we believe in, you'll find responsibility of man. It's there. We are responsible. And God's going to hold us responsible one day. And I want to kind of look at that, and there's a responsibility given here to mankind to enter in at the straight gate. Now, again, I want to talk about mankind just a little bit more. I know that unregenerate man is dead in trespasses and sin. Outside a supernatural work of God, he cannot be born again. But also that God made provisions for that to take care of it. So again, I'm not saying this morning that or anything to discount that. But man is responsible. Now go back and think with me. And I thought about this as I was just thinking, meditating, Brother Rose, on this lesson about the responsibility of man. Why is that? Why is man responsible? Well, if you go back in Genesis, and you'll find in Genesis 26 and 27 that God, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, that God created man in his own image. And I've meditated on this and thought about it a lot and done a lot of wondering. And when God created man, he created a free moral agent. God didn't create a robot. God had angels. Listen, God had angels, angelic beings. He had cherubims, seraphims, all that worshiped him. Where does man fit in at? And I've thought a lot about it. God had all of those things, but he had nobody like himself that could think for theirself. So he created man in his own image. And I believe with all my heart, just thinking on this and studying the scriptures, that God's desire for man was to fellowship with him. To have somebody, Brother Lowell, that he wasn't created just to worship him. His desire was to have somebody that would worship him out of his own free will. Not because he was made to, but because he wanted to. Because he loved him. And I kind of tried to relate this to more like a family affair, I guess, in our children or our grandchildren. And you know how it is when all of senior qualifies. When you get older, Brother Ralph, you change a little bit. You start to get miller and you miller down. I think that's probably a good trait. That's the way it's supposed to be. But anyway, I'm going back and considering my grandchildren, because that's where I'm really soft at. I cherish the times, Brother Rose, that they get up on my lap and I can have an intimate relationship with them. One that's, they look up at me and I know they love me because I'm their papaw. Anybody else in here like that? And I think maybe not all the way, but at least to some extent, that's the way God desires us to do. I think about, and I have thought a lot about this through the years and in this lesson too. And I think when you get older, you kind of get a little wiser. Hopefully you do anyway, you're supposed to. And we get to where we understand things maybe a little better when we get closer to the crossing. But I think about the times in my life, and I know I'm not no different than anybody else. I know we all do. But I think about the times at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, Brother Rose, when I wake up, Ralph, and it ain't nobody but me and the Lord. I think about that sweet fellowship that we can have. And you know it's real. I was talking to some guy just this week about this same thing and found out he'd had the same experiences I have. That's the reason I think probably all of us have if we've been saved by the grace of God and born again, Brother Lowell. There are times, there are certain times in our lives that we have those moments. And I think that that's the reason God created man, because he desired that of his children. I also thought about, why can't we do that more? And I know it's all probably stems from disobedience, but I thought about, what if we did do that more than what we do, Ralph? And I think we ought to, and it'd be good. But I thought about the way we're made as, you know, the way we're made up. If we got too much of that, we'd be like, you know, when Paul was called up into the third heavens. Brother Lowell, you remember when he was called up in the third heavens, he said, I saw things that couldn't be uttered. It's kind of like that. If we had too much of that I'm talking about, we might get to where we don't pay no attention to all the other things. I'm just saying might. I don't know. But I do cherish those times. And I think he does also. I believe that that was the reason that God created man in his own image. Something to think about. Didn't create robots. He gave us a responsibility. He also gave us direction. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Have you ever thought about the straight gate and the narrow gate? Narrow way and the wide way? Well, I really hadn't until I got studying this. But there's a thing that I'm not sure this is really right, but it is for me. There's a law of proportion in my mind. See, God didn't make that straight gate narrow. Did he? It ended up being that way because of the way we are. I call it the law of proportion. It's like this society that we live in is eat up by law of proportion. It's who's going to get the biggest piece of the pie. And so it's like taking a water glass, and if you fill it up with water 7/8 full, it only leaves an eighth that's not full. So the wider the road gets, the narrower the road gets. He gave us direction, enter ye into a straight gate. Then he gave us a warning. Look in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. He gave us a warning. It's something we need to be aware of here. False prophets. I think you can take the realm of religion and put them over in that. False prophets. He gave us a warning of false prophets. Well, this book that we have gives us warnings all the way through it of evil men. The Bible said evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, contrary to what the world teaches. The world teaches, or society teaches, if we can get enough education, get people civil enough, then we'll be a better society. That's contrary to God's word. God said it's going to get worse. I say it has got worse. So, we read over in Jude chapter verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith. He said, For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Sheep, these false prophets here that God said to be aware of, he didn't only tell us to be aware of them, but he told us about them. He exposed them. He told us what they'd be like. He said they'll be like people wearing sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they're raving wolves. Our Lord Jesus told us about the Pharisees. He said out on the outside, they're whited sepulchers. But on the inside, they're like full of dead man's bones. Let me say something this morning. And we don't have much trouble with what I'm going to say to start with. Everybody that wears a necktie has got their collar turned around backwards and has got a black book under their arm, they're not all right. But let me go a little bit further with it. Everybody that carries a King James Bible under their arm and has got fundamental wrote across their forehead, they're not all right either. Beware. Again, this brings back responsibility of man. It's our responsibility to beware of false prophets. Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, he said, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that do good, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. That's, he said, what it'd be like in the last days. From such, turn away. Now, if you go over in 2 Peter, I think it's 2 Peter. I'm going to read this because I can't quote. I'll probably do it like I've done that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken both by the holy prophets and the commandments of the apostles of the Lord Jesus and our Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. We're talking about false prophets. There shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Notice what it says about these. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Now I'm going to tell you something. Larry, it's bad enough to be ignorant. But to be willingly ignorant is a lot worse. And we've got people walking around everywhere willingly ignorant. False prophets. Jude said this, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain." They didn't have to go the way of Cain. They could have went the way of Cain's brother, Abel. Again, responsibility. It's throughout this whole scripture here. Responsibility. "Woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam, perished in the gainsayings of Kore." Willingly ignorant. He didn't only give us that, but he gave us the results of false prophets. Look. 21:22. "Now, not everyone that said unto me, well, I tell you, this is really strong if you look at it. These people," let me get ahead of myself a little bit. The results of false prophets is deception. You know, when you're deceived, you think you're right. Have you ever thought about why it's so, and I've said this a long time, and Brother Billy Mitchell used to say it all the time, kind of where I got it, I guess. A lot harder to reach somebody lost in religion than it is just somebody that's a drunkard. That's the truth. You can talk to an old drunker, and I just say drunk and not picking on the drunkards, but anybody in that category, don't matter what the sin is, you can about talk to them and they'll listen to you about the Lord. Most of them will agree with you. That don't mean they'll get saved, but they know you're telling them what's right. Amen, Wayne, that's the way they are in the jail. Them fellas will listen to you. They'll agree with you. They'll know. I know you're telling me right. Been there. If you get somebody lost in religion, it's a miracle if they ever get saved. And I'm just going to say this come to my heart and mind. And I'm not saying this to make anybody mad or... I'm kind of like this. You believe what you want to, and I'll believe what I want to. And God knows who's right. But that's one reason. Brother Lowell, and I am, and I'm not against teaching children. But there's a grave, grave danger in child evangelism. And you better think about that before you criticize me. You get somebody, and it don't have to be a child, but I'm just thinking about that right now. Anybody to agree with you, just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Do this and do that. And get them to believe that. And get them lost in religion. I would say... high percentability that they're going to die with that and go to hell. That's what he's warning us about here. Beware of false prophets. That's the reason I said not all of them look like we think they are to look. Yeah, they've probably all got sheep's clothing on, but it's a different sheep clothing in the time we live in. It's a nice suit, a necktie, or a collar turned around backwards, or whatever. It might be some Sunday school teacher. It might be, I don't know who. But I'm telling you, when you get somebody lost in religion, more than likely they're going to die with it and go to hell. That's right. That's the reason he said, preach the gospel. Be instant in out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The results of false prophets. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. These people are talking to the Lord. Lord, Lord. Not everyone shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, 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 many. I'd say we could just keep saying many. When the Lord says many, he means many, many. Many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? I say, if we had these particular people standing in front of us or sitting in church with us, whatever the case, we'd look at them and say, boy, they're good people. Amen, Brother Rose. Oh, they're good people. That ain't what he said. And I'm going to tell you something. Hear me. It ain't what I say. It ain't what you say. That's what he says. And them will I, and here's what he says. And them will I profess unto them. He's professing to them, these people, said, Lord, we cast out devils in thy name. We done all these different things. Them I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here's a dividing line. Results of false prophets. He gave results of false prophets. Then look at, in verse 24. He gives the results of obedience. This is the dividing line. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine doeth them. What sayings? Well, I believe we could insert the gospel there if you wanted to. I would liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Rains descended, floods came, winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell not. Fell not. Fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. Wise man, foolish man. He said, I liken him to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Rains descended, floods came, winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. I thought it was really interesting. It dawned on me, Brother Rose. Think about this. Same house. Don't say there's any difference in it. One didn't have 2 pounds of nails in it, the other had 3 pounds. Same storm. Rains descended, floods came, winds blew. Same house, same storm. What's the difference? The difference was the foundation. First Corinthians 3:11, for no other foundation can no man lay. You need to underline that. No man lay. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're living in a society. Most religion is based on men's thoughts, theories, principles, whatever the time thinks. But that's not God's way. For another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. The difference was the foundation. He told Peter, he said, upon this rock, I'll. No man, I'll. Not John, not Brother Rose, not Brother Rick, not Pope John, whoever he is. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. One of my favorite places in the scriptures is Psalms 101. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now keep in mind, responsibility. He didn't have to walk that way. He could have walked the other way, like most people are doing today. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's his way. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Says something about that man. He says, and he shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. But the ungodly are not so. Call to obedience. I'm glad Ralph, Hebrews, another place I like real good. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. It talks about that person that fled for refuge and laid hold on the race set before him, being anchored behind the veil. I don't know about you this morning. I don't know about nobody in here but myself. I'm glad I've been anchored behind the veil. I'm glad that Christ got me before religion did. I'm glad he got me before some false prophet got to me. I remember as a young man, good old man of God standing around the rose and preaching the gospel. And God, the Holy Spirit, gripped my heart. I didn't know much about what was going on. But I'll tell you what I did know. I know that I was wrong, and he was right. And I'm glad that he got a hold of me. Listen, I've not always done. I've done so many things in my life that I'd like to change. A lot of things I wouldn't want you to know about me. But I'm going to tell you this morning, I've got my sights set on a better place. I read this morning, he said that he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And you can bank on it. This old world is reeling and a-rocking just like it's supposed to be. I'm going to tell you something. God's not changed. He won't change. He'll never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You can put your trust in him and not be worried. I'm thankful for those times I have that I can get along with him, those intimate times that I talked about. It's good, but that ain't what's taking me. Amen, Ralph. I've laid hold on the anchor on the other side. Ain't you glad you're saved this morning? I was talking to somebody this yesterday or the day before or something or other, and we was talking about wealth man has in this world and, you know, accumulating things. And I know how we are. We've all got some desire for that at least, but it ain't going to matter. All the riches of the world, not going to matter. There's going to come a time in our life when only one thing matters, like the song says. Thank God for the cross, the blood, Calvary, and the man that was named Jesus Christ that came, gave his life, shed his blood. I thought about this, and I'll leave it with you. Give you something to think about. I was studying on this and meditating the other day, and I've heard people say something like, oh, if only Eve hadn't sinned in the garden, we'd been so much better off. Well, let me tell you something. If Eve hadn't sinned in the garden, wouldn't have been no use for him to come to Calvary. And I go one step farther. He knew she was going to sin before she sinned. Yeah. See, explain that, I can't.